Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. You know, if you were to read many love poems, you would begin to see a pattern. The person who has fallen in love tries to put that experience into words. But explaining love proves to be an impossible task. You can't say exactly what it is or exactly how it feels. The best you could do is to draw comparisons. You might say, well, it's like floating in air, or it's like smelling the scent of lilacs, even though there's no lilac bush around, or hearing the song of a lark in the morning when there's not a lark around for miles. And all of the great experiences of life are almost always like that. To quote-unquote explain them is virtually impossible. We cannot say exactly what they are. We can only say what they are like. Now this, I think, was the case on the day of Pentecost. The presence of God became so real to those early disciples that they were overwhelmed by it all. And later, when they tried to explain the experience, ordinary words failed them. They could not say exactly what had taken place, so they resorted to symbols, such as wind, such as fire. Now, of course, the question is, if you and I had been there, would we have actually heard wind and seen fire? Maybe yes, maybe no. At this point, who could say? But my point is, what does it matter? The important thing is that a group of people became vividly aware of God's presence, a powerful experience. And that awareness produced some powerful and profound changes in their lives. You know, Pentecost has been called the birthday of the church. And for 2,000 years, that event has reverberated down to us through the centuries as we sit here this morning. Pentecost deeply affected these people's lives. And how so? Well, the first profound change was courage. John's gospel tells us that the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked because they were afraid. But on the day of Pentecost, they boldly began to speak as the Spirit gave them ability. Now picture this. These were the very same people in the same place facing the same dangers. One day they were terrified for their lives. And a few days later, they were filled with superhuman courage. That transformation that took place in those people can be explained in only one way. Between those two scenes, they had experienced that God was with them. Now, am I speaking to anyone here this morning that is experiencing fear in life? I'd probably get a lot of fewer responses if I said, is there anyone here who never experiences any fear in your life? My guess is that every single one of us, on some level, is dealing with some kind of fear. So this day that we call Pentecost has a message for all of us. It doesn't try to convince us that our fears are unfounded, although in some cases that would be true. Many of our fears, the things that we're frightened of, they are just figments of our imagination. But still, they haunt us. And the fact remains that we do live in a dangerous world. Now, those early disciples had a very good reason to be afraid. They had seen their Lord brutally nailed to a cross. And the men who were responsible for that horrendous deed were still in power and very close at hand. Their hatred of Christ was unabated. They would stop at nothing to suppress the cause for which he stood. They had already proven themselves capable of murder. They had done it once. and they certainly would do it again. So I want you to picture this. Such were the circumstances facing those first followers of Jesus. They lived in a dangerous world, but somehow they were able to rise above their fear and live life with astounding courage and integrity. Now, how did they do that? How did that happen? Well, that's the message of Pentecost. They came to the realization that God was with them. They were not alone. And neither are we. Now, the dangers of life are absolutely real. But we do not have to face them armed with nothing but our own strength and our own wisdom, which is very paltry indeed. Do you really think that you're in charge of everything in your life? You think you have power over everything in your life? That's not possible. God is the primary player in the human drama, not us. He is with us and he will never leave us. That is another message that has reverberated down through the centuries to us this morning. Now, this truth does not negate the dangers of life, but it will enable us to live with courage and integrity. Now, another result of Pentecost was understanding. The Christians that day, the disciples that day, were all from around Galilee. The people to whom they spoke, and this is what the record says, were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. The amazing thing was that each person heard the gospel in their own language. Now, what does that mean? Were the disciples miraculously enabled to speak languages that they had never learned? Well, perhaps so, but that seems to be implied, but really, such a miracle was not really necessary, because everyone spoke Koine Greek, which was the common language of the Mediterranean world. It was the language of business. Everyone knew it. But the main point is this. The presence of God brought people together and enabled them to understand each other. And believe me, this is a miracle in and of itself. This is the kind of miracle that nations and communities and even our homes desperately need. And another result of Pentecost is forgiveness. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, that statement was originally made to the apostles. We all understand that. But in a real sense, it applies to every single one of us. We all have the power to forgive or not to forgive. Now, I know I'm dating myself when I bring this up, but I think most people here are of an age where you might remember a movie back in the day called Love Story. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, that movie contained just about one of the most stupid lines I've ever heard in a movie. Anyone want to guess what that is?
You never have to say you're sorry.
Yes, love means never having to say you're sorry. Who made that? Now, I say that's the stupidest line I've ever heard, because the idea that love negates the necessity for confession and forgiveness is utter foolishness. In fact, it is only love that allows that vital process to take place. Now, you all need to know and understand that people who work and live together inevitably hurt one another. Don't think that's unusual. It's the human condition. Inevitably, people hurt each other. So, from time to time, someone finds it necessary to say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." And somebody else will feel the need to say, "And I do forgive you," and speak those words of forgiveness. Now, notice this. In that simple exchange, a miracle of healing takes place. Everyone here has experienced that. A relationship is restored and renewed. Now, God does that for every single one of us. And when we are aware of God's presence, we will do it for each other. You see, Pentecost has given the church powerful gifts. And my point is, they are still available to all of us to this very day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.